Hello and welcome to another podcast while I'm doing my cardiac rehabilitation walk. This particular podcast will deal with a lesson observation and really communicating it primarily to my professional audience of experts. So that would have to be Professor John Canning and Professor Simon Fleming. And the people overseas, so you can get an x-ray view of what happens in a classroom. I have to apologize this time. I thought I'd walk to a more quiet part of Glenbrook, but there's trains going past all the time, so you'll probably hear them in the background. So I'll give you a basic commentary or a review of a lesson that I observed in one of our schools. And the overall lesson was an introduction to chemistry. But first off, there was some worksheets to do with ecology and review of how people answered them. And the primary focus of the review was to coach people in exam answering techniques. So there were some standard comprehension questions. And then there was a longer exam style question with an essay associated with it, and the need to have a strategy to structure it. So just to put you in the viewpoint of what the actual question was, it was to do with ecology, and it was to assess the pros and cons, I'm putting it in more simple words, of using recapture to estimate a population as opposed to a quadrat. Now, quadrats are a fairly old thing. Capture, recapture means that you put out your traps, you capture a certain number, say 10 particular animals, you mark them and you put them out into the population. And then that means that 10 now dilute or mix in the population, and when you recapture it, if you capture all 10, are all marked, all the ones that you capture are marked, it means that you've perhaps killed the entire population. If you capture 1 in 10, it means the population is around 100. It's a way of sort of measuring dilution. And the question asked, gave a lot of information and asked for an assessment of it. And the standard technique for tackling these types of questions is a drill. And at this point, we have to step back and have a look at how education operates. And this is perhaps the advantage of this podcast, is that I can sort of explain there's a different culture as opposed to the academic culture. So the way that culture is that you have a solution that's your own personal product and you promote it, good or bad, you defend it, good or bad, and your career is linked to it. So in this case, someone came up with a technique called the alarm method, and then got backing from the education department because they used it successfully in one high school. And then people who used the alarm technique could advance their career. So it's basically sort of career currency. Technique has a career currency. But the alarm technique refers to a learning and response answer matrix alarm. A learning and response matrix. It's a bit hard for me to get there because most acronyms don't have the and the AND as the A's. Now, one of the confusing things which had me stumped for a long while is the actual sort of table or sequence of things that you go through is actually not a mathematical matrix as people would normally understand, which is sort of a table of coefficients in front of some sort of linear equation, which is represented by a vector. So it's really nothing to do with that. And I don't know why they chose the word matrix. But the essential idea is that you have this sort of pyramid of complexity going up, this is in education theory, going up from very descriptive to greater levels of understanding to explanations, eventually to analysis and eventually to synthesis of something new. They don't ask for synthesis of something new in exam questions because that's too hard to mark. And so the idea is that Given that the marking system is tends to grade along here, you can pick up marks successively by actually just working from the base all the way up. So if you have a question, the first thing you do is you identify the terms in the question, then you define those terms. When you've got the definition, you wrestle that into an explanation. And when you've got the explanation, you use that for your justification for your assessment. Now, in terms of techniques, if you decide a technique I give to a kid is similar to putting code into your phone or into your computer to solve a problem, it's really bloatware. And it has the advantages that if you've got a powerful computer or a student who's really capable, yes, I'll be able to achieve with this. And some students who sort of close down everything else and put everything into it, they'll be able to achieve with it. But the walking around the HSC exam room and discussing with people, it's not a very effective technique. But that sort of discussion really doesn't happen inside education. Really, if you don't agree with the central dogma, you're just sort of, oh, how embarrassing. We have a situation here. Let's try and shut this down. But of course, that wouldn't deter me as a scientist. And I began to play around with the parameters here and look at where the high value mark area was and how you would systematically unpack a question so that you wouldn't have to steer it in the direction of the answer at every point. And my conclusion was that you should use something I've called ROSA. So I've got a bit of out of breath trying to go up this hill. Still haven't recovered it properly. So ROSA, which is reverse order systematic answer. And that is, you start from you read the question, you underline key words, which direct you in it, i.e. key aspects, like, in this case, quadrat and capture, recapture, and eventually up to the word assess. And then you start answering, in reverse order. So you actually just take a few words at a time and work from the back of the question to the front. And remarkably, this is a very, what you'd say, low stress, lightweight, robust method of answering questions. Now, interestingly, in the education space, because it's all highly political and it's very hard to get research done, this is not going forward, but this is really, truly my best bet. And hopefully my professor Fens will help me test this out in future. So they looked at the question, but no one actually read out the answers to analyse them, which is a key point there. Then the lesson moved from that section to an introduction to chemistry. And this is a new piece of technology which I'd like to talk to you about. And this is a application called Kahoot. And look it up in the web. Everybody see it. It's something that you download onto your mobile phone. It produces an icon. You press the button and you type in. It gets it very fast. You can type in very quickly the code number that you see up on the board. And then it will ask you to log in your name. You log in your name. I do think to actually get the, there's some register technique to download it. But once the app is loaded, it's there on the student. And then multiple choice questions appear on the board. And the student can press quadrants of their phone to give their response. So it's akin to the very famous clicker. But the sort of technology is bring it yourself, and it's through the wireless internet service. So it's a very robust, fast service. And the teacher, as far as I can see, laboriously enters the questions ahead of time and sets a time. There may be a way to accelerate this where questions are harvested sort of in a database. And I think I could write a LabVIEW software program to actually manage this and actually take questions from a database. I put it in with timing fairly quickly and do it there. What's also so interestingly, when the questions are answered, you can see the overall percentage response to pick things up, very useful, and the ranking of individual students' response, so you can get a sort of competition going, get students very enthusiastic. But there's other data which can be extracted, and I find that particularly interesting. Again, I could write software to mine this. I say literally mine it, because I can then take parameters of questions answered times and actually display the student's response with color in a 3D data spread, which you can rotate, and it can actually click through and what is it? Basically, relinearize or renormalize the data to actually expand, say, differences between boys and girls, or look for frontiers or gaps where students don't cross or do cross under certain circumstances. So this is all gobbledygook to education folk, but I've had experience with this in terms of analysing manufacturing data and mining data, where the actual parameters really tell you what to look for, and it's not independent variable. There's a frontier analysis, and I have actually done this with my student data in the past. I have a few, I suppose, LabVIEW things of data sets rotating around, and can see clear frontiers are going, so you can actually see the data spread, but you can also color the data set to see who lies where and when. So this is great potential for us to get into, and just, I suppose, that means long-term hacking into the back of this and see if I can actually get it to export files automatically to LabVIEW. And I've been quite successful in getting the internet interface between LabVIEW, where it just basically publishes whole web pages and uploads them in a sort of a very sort of clunky FTP style, but it's much, much more basic. So that's the Cahoots. Fantastic mobile phone app. It really is the next generation. You can throw your clickers and interactives away as far as I can see. And it's sort of rather sad, or it's sort of inevitable that the amount of goodwill and technical support to get clickers or laptop versions of this has just been really overwhelming. You really needed consistent support year on, year out. And what tends to happen at school is that you're the flavour of the month, and when something distracts, then it's all too hard, and then people get angry. It's sort of really hard to work technology in the school environment. The next part of the lesson was a classic information review of information about basic chemistry: electrons, neutrons, protons, elements, compounds, and mixtures. And produced on the board was a standard steps and stairs set of notes with a header and some details and progressive details off to the side. My note is that a lot of the concepts exist within other concepts. So within mixtures, you have a mixture is a combination of compounds, and compounds are a combination of elements. So it's that the terms actually sit within each other. So it's more like a sort of set of Russian dolls to get forward and to look at a information presentation where the actual conceptual relationships follow the notes. Now, a lot of key terms, which are almost, I think, short circuits to understanding. So when something was when there was a bit of curiosity about why there was a certain amount of electrons, a preference for a certain amount of electrons, its electrons are happiest with 8 on the outer shell and the octet rule. Now, I suppose what's interesting here is that being able to provide a sort of a very confident, quick word. And in terms of diagrams or the way things are going ahead, just a simple word, happy, or the way to go through to display things. There are other issues of, when first people encounter it, if you simply rub off an electron off the board, it sort of disappears. And one of the techniques, which I think is rather good, is where you circle it and you draw it, you know, sort of lasso and pull it out. So people, so the actual process is shown for a longer time. And also the ability to communicate what electron configurations are by actually putting the electron configurations in a square bracket. And if there are too many or too few electrons for there, you have the charges at the side of the square bracket. Again, meaning that there's less abstract work, it's a more concrete view. So just let's summarize here. The general idea of this podcast is a communication to my higher education friends, my higher education network, about what's happening in school. And there's a certain reasons why this doesn't normally happen. One is that the information and techniques are very much proprietary. People use them to leverage their position in careers. And so there's not much, because it's a closed community, there's not much communication up to the experts about what's actually happening. There's the idea of how we have an approach to answering questions, which is, had a very technique which is in favour, but perhaps there are different techniques which would suit other people. Then there's Kahoot, which is a mobile phone class interaction software. Very, very successful, very highly engaging, represents a large investment of teacher time, and there's a lot of data which could be systematically mined to tell you about group dynamics. So a lot of the education data is really associated with analysing individuals and reintegrating them into a group rather than looking at individual correlation or any correlations which occur within the data. So there's actually very little correlation data collected in education data. So that's Kahoot. And then finally, we're having a quick look at the way ideas are structured, notes are presented, and how there's a linear structure, which are nice clear notes, but it doesn't necessarily give you a graphical interrelationship of the ideas. That's something to work on. And the fact that the ideas have a cue word, which gives not really an understanding response, but a way the student says, oh, well, it loves 8, that's the main thing, and they can actually start to habituate with the right answer, sort of like a scaffolding of these key central words, and it'd be really nice to identify these and corral them. So that's the end of my short walking podcast. Thanks for listening, and hello to John and to Simon and their friends. I hope you've appreciated it. Bye for now. In the meantime, keep on doing science.